You are listening to A True Church Perspective from the Macedonia Baptist Church family. We pray that this message is a true blessing to you.
Psalm number one. We just want to visit these first couple of verses of scripture. Psalm number one. For those who have your word in your share. Can I just tell you, I'm honored to stand today and share on such an auspicious occasion, celebrating ministry, both personal and corporate. It's an honor to just see what the Lord is doing in the life of this pastor and this church. In this time, there's some churches that didn't make it 100 days, and you celebrating 100 years, and that's enough to be grateful for. I know some pastors didn't make it 4 weeks, and we celebrating 40 years, and we have reason to celebrate. Amen. Psalm number one, I want to start reading at verse number one. When you have it, say amen. I'm reading out of the New King James Version, and so it should read something like this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Peterson's The Message Bible reads it as such: how well God must like you. You don't hang out at the sin saloon. You don't sleek around Dead End Road, nor do you go to Smart Mouth College. Instead, you thrill to God's word. You chew on scripture day and night. You're like a tree replanted in Eden, bearing fresh fruit every month, never dropping a leaf, always in blossom. I want to preach a little sermon this morning with your prayers and God's power, entitled Planted for Purpose. Planted, you may take your seat, for purpose. God, we certainly thank you once again for chance and privilege, opportunity to stand and to share in your house with your people. We thank you for giving us reasons and times and terms of celebration. Well, we ask now, God, that you would continue to be with us in the midst of all that's going on surrounding us in society. We certainly ask that you would sanctify the sanctuary. Move now and become the preacher in this place. Let now the words of my mouth, meditations of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, who are my strength. You are certainly my redeemer. This is your servant's prayer. In the precious and powerful name of arisen Christ Jesus, we tell you thank you and amen. One more time, put your hands together. Bless the Lord for what he has already done and for what he's going to do. Watch this, the book of Psalms. Translated from the Greek salamos, literally translates into poems to be sung with stringed instruments. But in the Hebrew text, it actually has two different yet prolific meanings. The first of them is tehillah, which means to praise. The other one means tefillah, which means to pray, which lets us know right from the title of the text what this book is all about. But both praise and prayer are the central focus to the book of Psalms. In just about every number and every verse, even though there are some times where it seems as though there are cries of despair in the text, before you finish that number, typically a praise breaks out. regardless of what you see, regardless of the circumstances that are surrounding the writer and the writings, if you keep reading the psalm, encouragement is sure to come back round. The psalms are poems, prayers, and praises not meant to be somber, not meant to be dismal displays of melancholy melody. They are meant to be songs of celebration. They are meant to be melodic masterpieces that will magnify the master and glorify God and justify Jesus. Y'all looking at me strange. These particular writings were written to salute the Savior for all that he has done and all that he promises that he will do. They cannot be read like plain old stories or essays void of emotion, but they are filled to the brim with love and admiration, passion, pain, again, prayer and praise. Divided into five separate books with 14 known and identified writers, all combined to form the greatest singular writing that we know. Each of these psalms, Pastor Twyman, are powerful because each of the five books comes with its own benediction, commonly identified as a doxology. That these five benedictions, regardless of who the writer is, reminds the reader that you can't leave here without telling God thank you. If you look around the end of Psalm 41, you find some thank you in it. If you start reading around the end of 72, you find, y'all looking at me funny, you find some praise in it. These writers, regardless of what they were going through, strive to get the reader to understand it was never too much for God to handle. And before it's all said and done, that the praises of our God and the worship to our God were essential. I wish y'all would catch what I'm saying in here, because it looked dark now, but it should still be a thank you somewhere. We in strange circumstance now, but it should still be a thank you somewhere. You might be broke now, but payday around the corner. You might be struggling right now, but the breakthrough is on the way. I wish somebody would catch this. You might look at it now like, I don't know how I'm going to make it, but I guarantee if you spend a little time with the master, he gives you some assurance that we're going to make it. I love the writing because Psalm don't leave any loose ends. Whenever the writer talked about walking through the valley, he acknowledged that God's rod and staff provided comfort. He talks about his presence also being in the valley. When the writer asks God, how long will he have to suffer? He turns around and praises God for his presence during the suffering. Y'all looking at me strange. When the writer had to talk about how long before deliverance comes, he had to turn around and tell God, thank you for the deliverance. I'm trying to help us. You have to understand that there are no loose ends when it comes to God's writing. Each of the writings reminds us that God has not left us. Let me try to get through this little thing here. Watch this. There are many writers of the Psalms, but the chief penman is a familiar face and voice to all of us, a fellow by the name of David. You all know David, don't you? David is the shepherd boy, the giant slayer, the skilled musician, the soldier, then the one who turned king. Y'all know David, don't you? He was Jesse's youngest son, Jonathan's best friend. He was the harpist extraordinaire. He is the chief writer. We find him now introducing the psalm again with what's known as a benediction. Catch this now. Psalm number one, verse number one, is actually, although it begins the writing, it is a benediction to the reader. Watch this. He starts this thing off with something by the word blessed. But blessed or blessings is a well wish or a continuous prayer to those who would hear and read of the word. Watch it, watch it. He says, blessed. blessings unto you who don't walk with ungodly people. Ungodly is defined as irreligious, immoral people. Godless, blasphemous, corrupt, sinful, wicked, evil, defiant, disobedient, contrary, dreadful, insufferable people. David says, you don't have to walk with these people. I'm trying to make this make sense, because, see, we think we got to hang around some folk because we've known them a long time. We think we got to keep hanging with people because they was hanging with us when we were still out sinning. But now that we've turned our lives over to the Master, the Lord has given us another chance. We think we're supposed to be saved and still hang with sinners. Don't get me wrong. I hear you talking. I can read your mind. Jesus hung with the sinner. Yes, he did, but he had the ability to change them. Too many of us ain't got enough power to change ourselves, and we still want to hang around folk who are not trying to be saved. He said, blessed are thee who don't decide to walk along those ungodly people. We often find ourselves in trouble because we're supposed to be God-fearing people, but we spend the vast majority of time investing in ungodly. Listen, let me try to catch you real quickly, because I understand our purpose is to reach those that are lost, to seek and to save, but it don't say nothing about hanging. Let me put it to you this way. If you hang around folk who cuss long enough, sooner or later their language will infiltrate your vocabulary. And all them good holy words you've been practicing will be out the door. You'll be substituting them for 4- and 5-letter multiple syllabistic words that have no good meaning behind it. Y'all looking at me strange, but if you say amen, folk won't know I'm talking about you. He says, don't invest in individuals who cannot invest in you. Watch it. He says, not only are you not walking with ungodly people, but the blessing falls to those who are not standing in the midst of sinners. This is powerful, because in this text, the word stand literally means to be still. It means to be stiff or fixated, if you will. Almost to say, Pastor May, that we find ourselves being a statue in the midst of sin. We have to be careful and mindful. Watch this. Of finding ourselves statuesque in sinful situations. Oh, man, I thought somebody was going to catch this. You have to be careful, because sometime you might not be sinning, but you're so close to it that you'll be guilty by association. You do know that statues are symbolic gestures to things that have happened. They are symbolic gestures to personnel, people, places, or entities that have been through something. Okay, the statue is not to represent how much you sin. Your statue should represent how much you don't sin no more. But too many of us are in trouble because our statue is still signifying the sin that we're still standing in. God dog it, I thought it was a church in the sanctuary. Too many of us have found ourselves fixated in the midst of mess that mess up ministry. Pastor Twyman, I started telling the people at the church that the Lord allows me to serve, stop telling me what them and they said. Because if you can't tell me who said it and why, matter of fact, if you can't tell me why they were comfortable enough to say it to you, and you didn't knock all 7 teeth they still got left on the floor for disrespecting your pastor, why are you in the office now trying to tell me what they said about me. I figured it out. The scripture revealed it to me. Because there's too many people that have become statues in the midst of sinful situations. I tried. I thought somebody was going to catch this. Too many people stuck, stale, stagnant statues in the midst of sin. But David said, the blessing comes to those who refuse to stand still in the midst of their sin. I'm trying to make this make sense to you. Watch this. Some of us are so fascinated with being a statue that we don't even care what the statue represents. Some of us just want to be known for something. We don't care if that something is sinful as long as somebody call our name. Jesus. But David says it would be wise and matter of fact a blessing unto you if you decide to move from your sinful situation. I'm just talking about what the Bible says. I'm not making this up. Y'all can talk about this later. Watch this. David then says, the blessing falls to you if you refuse to sit in the midst of scornful folk. Scornful means contemptuous, scathing, snide, disparaging, disdainful, mocking individuals. Can we make this make sense? Be careful who you eat with. Be careful who you share a table and a meal with. Because not everybody who sits next to you wants to be a blessing to you. Not everybody who invites you to dinner truly wants to share with you. There are some individuals who want to sit down with you so they can pour out their mess on you. You ever notice some people ain't never got no good news? They'll call you, make it seem like everything is all good. Man, let's go to Red Lobster, to Applebee's. Let's go sit down. Let's break bread. Let's take a ride. Let's hang out. And as soon as you get there, the foolishness starts. They want to talk about who said what, who didn't say what, who did something, who didn't do something, who had on what color, who wasn't matching, who wasn't in uniform, who was off key, who was off beat. How many times we going to hear that sermon? How many times? You going to hear it till you get it. The Lord sent me to 2351 Puritan Avenue, Puritan Avenue Baptist Church, 7 years ago. And the Lord put in the midst of my spirit before we left to sing this song, I need you. You need me. We're all a part of. We stand with me, agree with me. We're all a part of. Y'all, I knew somebody knew the song. It is his will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you. Had a member walk up to me, rather upset. Pastor, I just got a question for you. And I said, well, I'm listening and prayerfully we'll have an answer. She said, how long we gonna sing that song? She said, it was all right the first couple times. It was all right the first year. We made it through the second year. It was all right the third year. It was pretty good the fourth year. But Pastor, ain't it time to change the song? I said, ain't it time for us to change our attitude? I said, ain't nothing but 50 of us and we scatter all around the building. Don't want to sit together. Don't want to talk to each other. I just eliminated fellowship time because wasn't nobody fellowshipping. I started telling them, just shake the hand of the person next to you. Just keep singing. Good to have you. God bless you. Wasn't no need for me to keep saying, let's have a fellowship, period. Wasn't nobody fellowshipping. They took a 5-minute gossip break in the middle of worship. I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong church. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do this to you all. We celebrating. But watch this. You got to be careful when folk are able to turn fellowship into foolishness. David said, don't sit around scornful people. It is some people that come to you, they ain't looking for advice. They just want to share a mess with you. Lord have mercy. You do know that the devil come to church too. He know your church address. He know your work address. He know your home address. He know where your kids live. He know where your boo live. And he has no problem stopping by all them houses before he get to yours. You have to be careful what you allow to come in so you can watch what goes out. I got to go. Watch this. Watch this. David said, don't sit at them tables. He says, but be somebody who finds delight in the Lord, who finds some happiness in the word of God, who finds some excitement in the scripture. Charles Spurgeon said, man must find delight and some pleasure in both his heart and in the word. Can I tell you, true happiness don't come from your spouse? True happiness never comes from your children. They make you smile a little bit, but they get on your nerves at the same time. But true happiness comes from the word of God. Not only does it come from the word of God, but it flows from God himself. David says, stay away from unhappy people. Watch this. He says, spend time on the word. Meditate on it. I found this ironic. And I promise you, I'm about to get out of here. Man's mindset. Meditation is the emptying of the mind. Meditation is where you are supposed to release everything on your mind. But when I was a little boy, my grandmama told me that that was a dangerous place. Because when you empty your mind, it gives an open opportunity, an invitation for the devil to come in. Christian's meditation is the opposite. Christian meditation is not the emptying of the mind. It is the filling of the mind with God's word. This word says the blessing comes to those who meditate on the word two times, day and night. That means you can't skim in the word. That means you just can't breeze through the scripture. That means you have to spend some time allowing the word of God to sink in. Can I tell you, you have to observe and absorb what the word says. What does that mean, preacher? You got to read it. Reading it allows it to make sense to you. Absorbing means you got to allow it to sink into you. Oh, Lord, I was hoping somebody would catch that too. Too many people just want to look at it, but they don't spend no time trying to read it. Reading means you're looking at it and it makes sense to you. Absorbing it means you allowed it to sink in and you begin to apply it to your life. Can I tell you, you can't live by the word that you never read. You can't declare the Bible to be your guiding light if you never open it. You have to spend some time learning to live by it. I'm about to go. Verse 3 says, this man, watch this, it's a continuation. This man who has decided not to walk amongst the ungodly, not sit with the scornful. Y'all see this? He has decided to meditate on the word. He didn't stand with the sinners, but he found himself spending time in the word. David says he is like a tree. Not just any tree, but a planted tree. Watch this. If you ever pay attention with all of this modernization and updates and upgrades that they're doing around our city and state, you ever notice is some trees that have been there. And then it's some trees that were put there. Thank you, Holy Ghost. So some trees, you've watched them grow. You grew up in that area. Grew up in that neighborhood. And you've watched this tree go from a little tree to a big tree. From a small tree to a strong tree. You've watched the seasons come and pass. You've watched the leaves fall, and then you've watched them grow. You've watched them change colors and fall again and then grow again. But watch the tree that was placed there. When the wind blows, trees that were placed don't seem to be as sturdy as those that were planted. I got to go. I got to go. I think this is a good spot right here. I got to find my exit right here. Too many people are trying to be planted when they were really just placed. Planted trees have had the time to allow their roots to grow and attach to the foundation. I hear that old song in my mind, On Christ. The solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. That David covers walking. He covers standing, oh Lord, and he covers sitting. None of these three things have any permanence to them. They aren't secure, yeah, because they're mobile. Yeah, but it's something, yeah, about being planted. Yeah, planted means, yeah, you're connected. Yeah, planted means, yeah, that you're strong and sturdy. Yeah, planted means, yeah, you're permanent. Yeah. Thank God, yeah, for the planted tree. Yeah. Watch what the text says. Yeah. You're planted, yeah, by the rivers of water. Yeah. That means, yeah, you're planted, yeah, connected to your nourishment. Yeah. Not only, yeah, are you connected to the foundation, yeah, but you're close enough, yeah, that you still get your nourishment. Yeah. And it don't matter, yeah, how much the wind blow. Yeah. It don't matter, yeah, how cold it get. Yeah. It don't matter, yeah, how much the season change. Yeah. When you're planted, yeah, you don't move. Yeah. You bend, yeah, but you don't break. Yeah. Be ye steadfast, yeah, unmovable, yeah, always abounding, yeah, in the word of the Lord. Yeah. Good morning, Macedonia. Yeah. I gotta leave you now. Yeah. But the tree, yeah, is a beautiful thing. Yeah. It's self-sustaining. Yeah. It knows when to shed. Yeah. And it knows when to cover up. Yeah. It knows, yeah, when it's daytime and night. Yeah. It knows, yeah, when it's warm and when it's cold. Yeah. But most of all, yeah, the tree knows its purpose. Yeah. It provides shade, yeah, and provide covering. Yeah. It's shelter, yeah, from the hot sun. Yeah. It's covering, yeah, from the storm and rain. Yeah. But ooh, yeah, the tree, yeah, is the source of salvation. Yeah. I know you're looking at me funny, yeah, but think about it for a minute. Yeah. I was told, yeah, it was a wooden cross, yeah, shaped in a cross sign. Yeah. This cross, yeah, was built of wood. Yeah. Wood, yeah, comes from the tree. Yeah. On that tree, yeah, my salvation hung. Yeah. On that tree, yeah, forgiveness was there. Yeah. On that tree, yeah, deliverance was there. Yeah. He died
on that tree. They buried him, and Joseph knew to whom. But early, early Sunday morning, he got up out of the grave with all power. Tell your neighbor, all power. All power was in his hand. Is there anybody here that can testify? I was planted and I ain't going nowhere. I'm a standstill on the promises of God. I know what Trump said. I know what the CDC said. But my faith is in an all-powerful God. Is there anybody here standing on your faith? Is there anybody here standing on the word? Anybody here standing on the promises of the master? Lift up your hand and say
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.